So please take your Bibles once again, turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to be looking at the call of Abram as we're in the second week now of preaching through what's called the narrative lectionary. And there's an insert, I believe it's the insert that describes the different opportunities for learning that we have throughout this school year. And there's a part that describes the narrative lectionary, what it is exactly, and what we'll be following as we go through the school year together. But let me just draw your attention to a way to connect with this story, to keep it speaking into your life, to root you more deeply into God's Word. There's a tan insert. You'll find this every week, which is a devotional aid for you to use in the following week after you've heard the sermon to help you live into the story a little more completely. This will also serve as part of our discussion for our small group that will be meeting on Friday evenings at the McCullough's home. It'll also serve as a discussion aid for those adults who would like to come to a sermon feedback time immediately after worship. That'll take place in the Anderson Room following coffee hour. So we encourage you to use this resource both today and then throughout the week and in the weeks ahead. You know, the story of the call of Abram is one of the most important texts in the entire book of Genesis. And really, some have said it is the seminal text, the most important text in the entire Old Testament, in all of the Hebrew Scriptures. As you reflect back a little bit on the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you have to say that those first 11 chapters, although they're filled with good news and revelation of the character and creativity of God, that they're dominated by God's dealing with humanity's sin and humanity's rebellion. Chapter 3, we have the fall, followed soon thereafter by the story of Cain and Abel and the murder of Abel by his brother Cain. Then comes the flood that occupies three chapters in Genesis, followed soon thereafter by the story of the Tower of Babel. That's what takes place in Genesis 11. So that early part of Genesis, we see God dealing once over and over again with the brokenness of humanity and the rebellion of humanity. But finally, at the end of chapter 11, we meet Abram and his wife Sarai. Now here, their names have not been changed to the more familiar Abraham and Sarah. That's going to come later in the book of Genesis. And we meet them in the most inconspicuous place. They occur in a list of genealogies, a list of family lines, and there's nothing particularly remarkable about either of them, except it's noted when it comes to Sarai that she is barren. She's the first person to be noted in that way in the story of Genesis. But there's a shift that occurs in chapter 12. Now, you recall from last week's sermon that God promised Noah that he would never again destroy his creation by flood. And he put the sign of the rainbow in the sky for us to know that, but equally, and perhaps even more importantly, for God, to remind God that is his promise to his creation. And so when we get to Genesis 12, God is now revealing his plan for how he is going to redeem humanity, how he is going to redeem this creation. And it begins with Abram and his barren wife, Sarai. So chapter 12 starts with God speaking to Abram. He tells him, "Go from your country, go from your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you." And God assures Abram he will bless him if he follows God's call. And in that call, there are three promises that are made to Abram. There's the promise of a land that he will inherit, that will be his. That's right there in verse 1. And then there's the promise of descendants, that he will make of Abram and Sarah a great nation. That's in verse 2. And then in verse 3, there's the promise of Abram and his descendants being a blessing to all the peoples of the world. Now, we're going to come back to those three promises real soon. But first, I want us to realize, and it's important that we do, that God here in chapter 12 commits himself to redeem his creation through a human being. I think it's easy for us to kind of skip over that because we're so familiar with this story. But we need to just pause for a second and realize how remarkable it is that God's plan of redemption and creation restoration is going to come through us, going to come through the human race. The very ones who had betrayed God, who had rebelled against God, who had turned their backs on God, Genesis 3, Genesis 4, Genesis 6 through 9, Genesis 11, God will not give up on. In fact, God will use the human race to bring about his salvation and his restoration for creation. So just as God gave a mandate to Adam and Eve, you know, that mandate to be fruitful and multiply and to steward the earth, he repeats most of that mandate to Noah and his family in Genesis 9. So God, right here and right now in Genesis 12, commits himself to a particular human being to begin his plan to redeem the earth. The angels, they're not going to be the ones bringing God's salvation. Now we know they announce it. And other heavenly creatures won't affect God's relationship of this broken world and our broken lives. But no, God promises to bring salvation to his creation through the ones who had broken it in the first place. Through humanity. God, born of a woman. And this is where it starts. It starts with Abram. God chooses Abram. And it's a costly choice. For Abram. It's a costly choice for Abram. This is how God speaks of that. He begins by telling Abram, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. Basically, what he's telling Abram to do is to leave all that you know, to leave all your support systems, to leave all those who would care for you in your later years. How old is Abram? What did the text say? How old is Abram when he gets the call? 75 years old. At 75 years old, I'm looking to go to Covenant Village. Right? But not Abram. He doesn't get that. He gets a very hard call. And it says, he says to, God says to him, to leave all that you know. And to go where? To the land I'm going to show you. You see, God calls Abram to a life of a very risky faith. And it's a call to discipleship that requires that Abram entrusts his life to God. And it's at this point where the call to Abram connects with each one of us. In the first promise given to Abram, that of land that God will give to him, I think it presupposes the question, where do you belong? Where do you belong? Because for Abram, when the call of God came, where he belonged was not where he was, right? He was in Haran. He was in his country, with his people, with his father's household. But where he belonged was not where he was. And God's call to belong, to be in relationship to him, begins first with dislocation. With dislocation. Go from your country. Go from your people. Go from your father's household. I think the call of Abram and the promise that God gives in verse 1 of our text connects with our lives in this way. You and I, as followers of Christ, we don't belong to this world. Rather, we belong in relationship with God. And when you think about it, when Jesus called disciples to follow him, they're always leaving something behind, right? It's either fishing boats or a government job or even family obligations. But the most important thing they leave behind is the life they knew. It's the life they knew. And what they leave behind, just like what Abram leaves behind in this call from God, is a life centered in this world. And he leaves it behind for a life centered in a relationship with God, because that's where Abram belonged, and that's where we belong, in a life centered in our relationship with God. Now, God doesn't call all of us in the same way that he called Abram. Not everyone is called to leave family and country and home, although some are. I mean, immediately we think of missionaries. But sometimes, because we think of missionaries who are called to leave their family and to leave their country, to go incarnate the gospel in another place across cultures, we think, well, that's a call for them. But no, this is a call for all of us. It's a call to have our life centered in God, because that's where we belong. But all too often, so much of our lives are focused on fitting in to the place where we don't really belong. Whether we give ourselves to increasing our financial net worth, or whether our focus in life is to increase our social status in high school, we all expend too much energy trying to fit into the place we don't belong, to fit in to this world. And so the challenge is, the daily call to discipleship is to choose to live life centered in God, to the one whom we belong, and not in this world, which is not our home and where we don't belong. Every now and then I'll go on YouTube and click into some of those old gospel hymns that I remember singing when I was growing up. And one of my favorites is, and boy, is it twangy, what's the guy's name? Pettit is the one who sings it. I'm just a stranger here. This world is not my home. And that's what we see with Abram. Abram chose to be a stranger to all that he knew in order that his life might be centered in his relationship to the Creator God. Go to the land I will show you, verse 1, presupposes this question: where do you belong? Where will your life be centered? Will it be centered in the values and priorities of this world, which is passing away, or in your personal relationship to God and the eternal kingdom, which will never pass away? Secondly, the promise God gives to make Abram into a great nation presupposes another question: who is your family? Who is your family? You notice in verse 2 that God's plan and promise is to create a family from Abram and Sarai. In fact, God was so committed to doing this that God rejected Abram and Sarah's plan to help God along in that process. You remember that part of the story, right? So Abram and Sarah, text notes that Sarah is barren. So their inability to have children together led them to their decision to try to have a son from Abram with Sarai's slave, Hagar. So Abram and Hagar, they did have a son together. Do you remember his name? I'm not hearing it. Ishmael. Yeah, Ishmael. Yeah, that was the son between Abram and Hagar, Sarai's slave. And they did that in order to help God fulfill God's promise to them to make a great nation. But Ishmael was not the one God had promised to be Abram's heir. He had promised that Abram and Sarai would have a son. And as followers of Jesus, the call to belong to the family of God, to belong to Abraham's heirs, is, I believe, a call to live life in the church of Jesus Christ. Because, as you know, the son that did come to Abram and to Sarai, the son Isaac, grows. So God's promise to make a great nation of Abram is fulfilled in the raising up of Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 sons, and then the people of Israel. And the Israel of the Old Testament explodes to become the church of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, God's people. And the call to belong to the family of God, Christ's church, is a great blessing. And let's be honest, it's also really, really hard sometimes. For that often requires to belong, to really enter into community with God's people, some costly obedience on all of our parts. It's not easy in the church to do what the Bible commands of those who belong to the family of God. Things like being devoted to one another in love, to honoring one another above ourselves, to rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep. But that's the call. I think the promise to Abram, "I will make of you a great nation," presupposes this question: who is your family? And the biblical answer is, for followers of Jesus, it's the church. It's Christ's church. You know, I love what Shane Claiborne... Did Shane Claiborne speak at CHIC this year? Last time. Okay. Shane Claiborne is a prolific author and speaker in the Christian faith. And he has this book, The Irresistible Revolution, Living as an Ordinary Radical. And this is what he has to say about the church. And I love this quote because it connects it back to last week's story about Noah. He says, "The church is like Noah's Ark. It stinks. But if you get out of it, you'll drown." And isn't that the truth? But the good news is the church doesn't always stink. It does sometimes. It's hard. We're still sinners, saved by grace. But the church is often a blessing as well. And this blessing comes in belonging to others. This great body of people comprised of all races and all genders and all socioeconomic standing. All those that share the life-changing grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, the promise God gives to Abram that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you presupposes a third question: what is your life for? What is your life for? For you see, the call to belong to God, to have your life centered in God and in your relationship to God, also brings along with it a particular and a specific vocation. God has given to your life a purpose. And it's found in the promise to Abram in verse 3. Your purpose in life is to be a blessing to others. To be a blessing to others. Now, maybe you were hoping I was going to tell you specifically how you were going to do that or how God has called you to live into that. Well, I do have some just general thoughts on that. You know, I find that those who remember that they are, as is often said about Genesis 12, verse 3, that they are blessed to be a blessing, I just find in general people that have that spirit about them have a more expansive life. They are less preoccupied with their own problems. Now, they don't deny that they exist, and they don't have. It's not that they never have concerns about the things that concern them, but I just find that they are less preoccupied with their own problems, and in fact, more assured of God's care for them. Those that have this attitude that they have been blessed to be a blessing, their focus on blessing others with their lives gives rise to a more generous spirit and a more charitable attitude. That's what I've found. You know, the old illustration, and you've heard it before, bear with me as I repeat it, the old illustration of how our spiritual lives are like a sponge, you remember this, right? A sponge, you know, it soaks up all that good water and all that sudsy soap that's good for cleaning things. But if you don't squeeze it out, what happens to the sponge? It stinks. And our spiritual lives are like that. We're blessed by God. We soak all this good stuff in. But we're blessed to be a blessing, to squeeze it out of our lives for others so that we can remain fresh and open. Our lives expand and our attitudes are generous and charitable. So let me challenge you, as I challenged myself this week, as I thought about this text. A good way to start each day could be with a simple prayer. Jesus, who do you want me to bless today? Jesus, who do you want me to bless today? And then live into the promise that is ours as well as Abram's from Genesis 12, verse 3. You are blessed to be a blessing. That is what your life is for. That is your call. That is your vocation as a follower of Christ. And we hear that so clearly, right? In the gospel text this morning, Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. See, that's one way we are blessed to be a blessing, to share the good news with others, and all, so many other ways as well, all that bear witness to the God who has blessed us. So I began this morning by saying that God's call to Abram is the most significant event in the book of Genesis, possibly the most significant story in the entire Hebrew Scriptures. For in it, God's plan of redemption for all creation becomes specific and requires a faithful response of the one who is called. It requires a faithful response from Abram, and that's what we see. It's a pivotal moment in the story of God. But the promises extended in the call of Abram are also personalized for each one of us today. And they call us to answer these three questions. Where do you belong? Where's your life centered? Who is your family? And finally, what is the purpose that God has given you for your life? How we live the answer of those three questions, that will reveal where our lives are centered. It will tell the world who we name as Lord. Amen.